It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You got a good voice.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, of course, for making your way here, checking out the series. I do hope you hit that subscribe button. I put out 3 brand new interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones at Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Some of my recent guests have included, let's see, the creator of the show Physical on Apple TV Plus, Annie Wiseman, the director of Expendables 4. We had The Breeders, Baroness, Corey Taylor of Slipknot, the producers behind The Morning Show on Apple TV, Michael C. Hall, the director from Dexter and 6 Feet Under. He was here with his band Princess Goes. Leve, Andy Taylor of Duran Duran, The Rat Boys, Westlife, Tommy Stinson of The Replacements, Jerry Harrison of Talking Heads. That's just an example of what you get 3 times a week when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Mayer. Today, my guest, the band Lainey, talking with Paul Klein and Jake Goss about their 5th album, A Beautiful Blur. They're going to take us through writing. The beginning of the album is actually the first song they wrote, which is actually the first song on the album. So we're going to hear all about that. Leaning into the sound of their musical heroes, such as U2 and Coldplay, and Paul's ability to speak to so many people while being entirely personal with his lyrics. The duo's also going to discuss why they changed their album title at the last minute, what it's been like for Jake to be doing this as a dad for the first time, and what the most important result they hope for out of each album. All that and more as we talk A Beautiful Blur. It's Kyle Meredith With Lainey.
What's up,
Kyle? Hello, hello. I love the posters. I love the posters back there, too.
Yeah, I let my heroes do the heavy lifting for me. A little Bowie, REM, Depeche Mode.
I see Pearl Jam twice. I don't know if that's strategic, but I'm all about it.
Yeah, well, Pearl Jam I have seen probably more than 50 times over the course of 25 years. So
yeah.
Those are Jake's boys.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, that's. I was supposed to see them recently, and the show got canceled. I had front row tickets and backstage passes, and Matt Cameron, the drummer, got COVID.
Oh, no. You'll love this. I'll have a quick story. You'll love this story. We played a festival in Milan, and Pearl Jam was headlining that night, I couldn't believe we got to play the same stage as Pearl Jam. We played, we call it the breakfast slot, like when the doors open and we play 30 seconds after that. And we played and people just turned their backs to us and just flipped us off. And it's one of my favorite memories ever.
Oh,
because they're just like, we're waiting for Pearl Jam. Who are these dudes?
Yeah, I learned a lot about myself that day and who I was on the inside.
Yeah, it's like do you stay a band or do you quit after that? And we stayed.
Yeah,
it's a good thing. Pearl Jam would have wanted you to stay, I feel like.
They were incredible too, so it was amazing.
It's good to see you both on here talking about what album number 5, I believe, with the beautiful Blur, and you're hitting all the you're hitting all the things that I love about songwriting on this record. Whatever lane you guys kind of ended up in here, let me just give you the compliment at first that this record, it's really fun to listen to. I know there's some heartbreaking heavy subjects as usual, but it's a really fun record.
Oh, thanks for saying that.
How does I don't know if albums have starting points. I mean, most of the time people are just writing songs, but how does it work for you guys? Does this album have a starting point?
Yeah, I guess it does. The first song we wrote for it is a song called Double XL, which is actually track one. And that was written at a time at the end of 2021. We had been basically locked up, you know, for a while, not being able to tour. And we were able to kind of get out of the house at the end of the year and play about 21 shows, mainly in North America and a few in the UK. And then I think we went straight home for Thanksgiving. And I was just kind of itching to get back into writing and went over to a friend of mine, Andrew Goldstein, who we actually made the fourth album with. And we got together and I knew I wanted to write a song called Double XL, partly Jake and I, we just like to wear big clothes. I mean, like, we just like double XL hoodies and tees. And I thought it'd be so cool to maybe write a song called Double XL. And, you know, I miss you big time. I miss you a lot. But instead of saying a lot or big time, let's say Double XL. And it would be kind of fun to spin it. And, you know, when you're dating somebody and they're like, maybe they throw on your hoodie and it's, you know, it's like too big for them or whatever. And so I thought that was such like a just kind of a cool way, kind of a quirky title. And that was the first song we wrote. And then it just kind of starts to snowball from there. Once we start writing it, it's hard to turn it off. And so, yeah, I think what, you know, the way it works is we go and write as many songs as possible. Jake kind of gives me the freedom to go and try everything and go into any room with anyone and explore. And then I bring it all back before him and he kind of decides which ones we should really pursue. And that's how it works. And that's how it worked this time as well.
Jake, how do you know, this might be, you know, the unanswerable question how do you know it's the song? How do you know, like, yes, that's the one we're going to move forward on?
Oh, man. Great question. I think number one, it's just feeling. I think feeling and emotion is kind of the lead when he's sending me songs and I'm just like, wow, that really moves me in some kind of way. And then also sometimes I can just kind of see the future of it. I can see us playing it somewhere. I can hear us listening back on repeat together, like screaming our heads off, like we love this song. I can see kind of like what we'll be wearing. I just like feel like I have this world when he sends me a song that is like it. I'm like, oh yeah, let's go with this one because I can already see it.
Now, y'all have had the friendship long enough. Is the opposite also true? Where you hit him back and go, that's not it?
Yes.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, Jake will let me know that's for somebody else.
No, one thing that's so cool about Double XL, like he's saying, one thing that Paul's great about is not just the songs alone being exciting. It's like everything across what Lainey does, whether it's merch, visuals, song title, the song, it's like all exciting. So it's cool. It's not just like one area is here and then everything's down here. It's just like we try everything to be just elevated. And so Double XL is just like a layup, it felt like.
And we'll be right back right after this.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Lainey.
That song in particular, and hearing that, you know, I talk about you hitting all the things that I love about songwriting, like, you know, pop rock, especially coming from, I was a teen in the 90s, you know, and like, you know, when I think back in those bands, whether it was, you know, Counting Crows, Third Eye Blind, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, those were big moments for me. And I hear this song and that recalls that, but then I also hear you all maybe in a press release or something, kind of name checking bands like U2 and Coldplay and The Killers as being sort of direct influences on this specific record. Why did it land like that this time, and why those bands?
I think those, you know, two of those definitely are kind of our North Star, U2 and Coldplay. Those bands just resonate with us like almost on a spiritual level. Growing up, you know, I started classical piano when I was 5 years old, didn't really have a choice. It was just kind of one of those things that my mom told me we would be starting. And then I wound up taking classical piano for 13 years. And, it was all about guitar growing up. And if you didn't play guitar, like you were, you know, it didn't matter. And, to see somebody like Chris Martin being the band that he is and being the leader that he is for that band. And to see him behind the keys, like, really spoke to me on like a personal level. And I still look up to him so much. I've never met him. I don't know if I ever will. But I feel like that for me is something that we really aim for, you know?
I think it's cool too. It's like, we've always had heroes, but I feel like this record, we've leaned in to why there are heroes. And a lot, like, especially those two bands, it's like a lot of noise that happens in the world, but there are two bands that have always been like for the world. And their songs are so global and have such a global impact. And we really leaned into that.
The thing I love about them, it's like they somehow figured out how to write the biggest anthems of all time and still feel like it's so intimate, you know, within the song. Like as songwriters, you know, I get that similar vibe from you. How do you pull that off? What's the songwriting trick here?
Oh, man. I actually think trying to hone in more on like the personalness, like the intimacy of the moment, instead of trying to like make a song fit for everyone and rid it of detail and rid it of intimacy. I actually don't think that works. I think diving into the moment that you're writing in, that personal like micro moment in life or that season in life, and being as detailed as possible actually makes the song in a weird kind of magical way more relatable. I don't know if that makes sense, but filling it in with as much color and uniqueness actually makes it more global. That's how I feel about it.
I feel like that anyway, that's what your fans have appreciated too, because it's not, I mean, there's a lot of pop music out there, and I'm not knocking anything one way or the other, but you know, everybody chooses their lane, but there's a lot of pop music, there's just a lot of music that doesn't necessarily say much, you know, it's too broad. And the way people connect with you all, it seems it's really about that connection. Like, you're talking about something really, really specific, but you know, it becomes relatable.
I really appreciate saying that and highlighting
that.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Thank you.
So into the record too, you know, we're talking about XXL being the first song and kicking it off. But as I also understand, like the track list and thankfully, you know, you're thinking about it as an album, but it's chronological. What's the story of this record?
It's not chronological. We actually have about 10 different versions of the track list. but we are so excited with how like where everything landed. But weirdly enough, now that you mention it, No would have actually been the last song we wrote for this album. So in a serendipitous type of way, without doing it on purpose, XXL was the first one and No was the last one we wrote for it, which is crazy. But everything else in the middle is not necessarily in chronological order. You have to be cognizant of ebb and flow, momentum, things like that on an album. You don't want to load up the front half with all up-tempo things that will wear you out, and then the back half is ballads. And you kind of want to spread the diversity of each of the songs kind of across the board. So I don't know. I mean, it was basically a lot of like puzzle piecing, you know, like taking one one song, be like, okay, that feels nice after that, going into that. And that's also just like a process that a lot of people don't ask about is the track list. But yeah, it really is exactly like you would imagine, kind of trying to see which one feels the best coming before and after each song.
Yeah. After you change the album title, as now is out there, I think it was maybe the newsletter you sent out. You said you're questioning every artistic direction, hearing that there's 10 different track lists. That's not surprising to me now. Yeah. That's it, right? Like you hear about, if you're a painter, you have to know when to stop painting.
Yeah.
Like what does that mean when you're talking about, you know, questioning everything? Like at some point you've got to, like, I don't know. What I was about to say was, at some point you've got to believe in the album. Maybe you always believe in the album. What is it you don't believe in?
Well, I believe in all of it now. And it is now definitely too late to change anything. but, you know, it's always been about the songs, and each album has a different story of when the title came to us and when the album art came to us. Each one is wildly different. And just in this scenario, not that it's not important, because it is so important, but I cared more about the songs and the way they sounded and the way that they were going to be listened to than I cared about the title or the cover, really. But that's not to say we don't care about it. We definitely care. If we cared enough to change it. But it was just one of those things that maybe wasn't super clear to me. And, you know, I absolutely love where we landed. And I love the journey that it took. It's amazing to like go through all of this and see what you were supposed to learn from. And you know, I keep asking myself, like, God, what was I supposed to learn from this? And how did I grow in this area? And how did we grow as a band? But honestly, like, not to sound corny, but making this album also was a beautiful blur. Like now when I look back on it, it was just so much hard work and so much dedication to the craft and so many revisions. And I think that's just like, I think that's part of our artistic responsibility. As you know, this is not our first album, it's our fifth. And when I really think about my goals in this band personally, is all I really want from the album that we just released is that it allows us to make another one. That's what I want, is to just, when I put it out, that it means that we, like, it does well enough and reaches enough people that we can go and make another one.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Lainey. And knowing about that journey too, because, you know, we have lineup changes into the duo and family additions. Jake, I bring that up for you because I don't know that this is the first album you put out since being a dad, but if it's not, it's definitely right, the first album since you've really got a toddler on the way. Like, has that made a big impact in what this album means to you?
You know, it kind of just gives me more purpose and more intention in life. It's like, I just don't want to do anything that I'm not giving it 100%. And it's also really fun because she turned 2 in May. So she's like starting to hum things and sing things. And she is obsessed with Double XL and just wants to listen to it on repeat. So we just have it in the car. We're just DJs now in the car. Just like, if she wants to listen to Moana or Lainey, it's one of those two. So it's just a whole new excitement. Like, she's been on the road with us and she's like our little mascot. She used to be really scared of Paul and now she's in love with him. So it's a fun little journey. She's been to the studio when we're tracking, and I'll have those photos and videos forever. So it's just like, just creating a lot of fun memories.
Paul, are you typically intimidating to kids?
I don't know. We got along really, really well when she was like 6 months, but that was before she probably had like any sort of like free will developed yet. But I was like just obsessed with her when we were on tour, because she was like just such a little chunk, and I just like kiss on her cheeks all the time. But then something happened. I don't know if like I went too long without seeing her. She was like, she would just kind of scream every time she saw me. So, and I started FaceTiming her so we could like develop a bond again. And now
it's
we're
there.
Good.
She'll wake up and say, "More Paul, more Paul." So they got there.
You found a way into her heart.
I think she was intimidated by the Zoolander jawline situation.
Well, those melodies are, you know, you can't fight them. And I mean that,
yes,
too.
Yes.
You know, like, not just XXL. I was looking at some of the other ones here. Out of My League. God, that melody is a mid-2000s dream for me. I was thinking of Evan and Jaren, Crazy for This Girl. Do you guys know that one? I don't know.
You'll have to sing it to us.
Not going to happen today with Kentucky allergies, I'll tell you that. But between that one, like I pray, I mean, what a unique set of lyrics. What a unique way to hope that someone gets broken up with. Where does that one come from? You don't have to get too personal, but where does that one come from, generally speaking, I guess?
You know, I don't know. I guess it just came from my soul. I thought it was just really unique. I mean, yeah, I've kind of like maybe found myself in like not a exactly perfectly exact scenario, but I did find myself at the top of this year. You know, when like you're in the back of a car with like a group of friends and maybe there's someone that you like might have a crush on or something, and you're headed to like the next bar or something, and like your knees touch, but you don't like move your knees. You know, it sounds so silly, but it is like one of those moments that we don't really talk about, or no one's ever like kind of pinned it, you know, like our knees were touching in the back of the car when they didn't need to. And that just started to like snowball in my imagination. And I don't know. I'm glad that you like that song. I love that song.
That's cool. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, one of those moments you cannot get more specific and personal.
Totally.
In the most microscopic way. That's great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I do love the record. And I love the album title, A Beautiful Blur. It paints a great picture. And I mean that. This is such a fantastic record. Congratulations to you both for doing it. And guys, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Man, thank you so much.
And my thanks to Lainey. That's Paul and Jake. The new album is called A Beautiful Blur. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, I do hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists. Discover those new ones at Spotify and Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With. And after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classic tracks from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. We got the best in new music, lots of music news, and bonus interviews as well. One of my recent episodes had the music of the Beatles and T-Rex, Heart, Devin Gilfillian, Springsteen, Grantley Buffalo, Natalie Merchant, The Decemberists, Last Dinner Party, The Darkness, Veruca Salt, XTC, Bully, Rap Boys, The Shins, Vampire Weekend, Olivia Dean and Leon Bridges, The Police, The Clash, Duran Duran, Jamie Wyatt, Spoon, TV on the Radio, Silver Sun Pickups, Dave Matthews Band, and my interview with Idina Menzel. Just an example of what you get every weeknights at 6 p.m. at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also catch me on the social medias. The address is always the same, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Somebody found us calling.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.